There's a story about a frog who did a wonderful thing. And you know, stories about frogs who do wonderful things are few and far between. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Inspiration. I'm the Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California, and I just love to talk about frogs. Good Stuff magazine always has good tales. And one of them was, a frog asked two geese to take him south with them. At first, they resisted. They didn't see how it could be done. Finally, the frog suggested that the two geese hold a stick in their beaks and that he would hold onto it with his mouth. So off the unlikely threesome went, flying southward over the countryside. It was really quite a sight. People looked up and expressed great admiration at this demonstration of creative teamwork. Someone shouted, "It's wonderful! Who was so clever to discover such a fine way to travel?" Whereupon the frog opened his mouth and said, "It was I," as he plummeted to the earth. You see, taking credit can get us into so much trouble. We don't need the credit. The frog wanted to go south. Well, he only got part way. And if he got anywhere at all, he landed with a plud, boop, on the ground. And depending upon how high they were, he may not have even survived. But we all do wonderful things. And if we can just do wonderful things and shut up about them, we can enjoy the benefit of them. But when we feel that we need the credit for what we have done along with having done it, then sometimes we open our mouth at an inopportune moment and fall to the earth. Kaplatch. Kaplatch. We spoke about Sir Edmund Hillary the other day and what a fine man he was, and how as he arrived at the peak of Mount Everest as the first human being, so to speak, who's ever made that climb, his Sherpas were with him, and one of the Sherpas said, "May I step across first and be the first Sherpa to climb up here and make a note for my people?" And Hillary said, "My goodness, yes, go ahead." And he let the Sherpa go. Now, he gave the Sherpa all of this credit. The papers knew about it. The world knew about it. Everybody knew about it. Now, the Sherpa was a fine man, and he did do his job. He was paid to take them up there, and he did it. But Hillary did not consider any of that. He just considered that the Sherpa asked, and he said, "Sure." Now, he had climbed tediously, paid great amounts of money to do the climb, and he had made it to the top. And to him, that was value enough. And everybody in the world knew what he did. Well, it didn't take long before the story of the Sherpa was forgotten. And the story to the world is that Edmund Hillary was the first man to climb the top of Mount Everest. You see, he didn't have to deny anything. He didn't have to deny another person the opportunity to step first and have his photograph taken and so on. He didn't have to do that. All he did was just to be himself and have fun. And he became quite wealthy over it. The frog, by needing to have the credit, fell down to earth. Edmund Hillary, by not needing the credit, he rose to the skies, you might say, over the Himalayas. And around the world, people recognized him and honored him. You see, that's a perfect illustration of how, by not needing credit, we get lots of credit. Now, we look at the early designers of the electric light bulb, and we find that designers of it in other countries want credit for having done it. Well, did they do it? Did they build the light bulbs that were used in their country, or did they take the design that Edison had made? If they took the design Edison had made, then theirs was a joke. If their design truly was as equal to Edison's, they would have taken that and they would have had a French light bulb or a German light bulb, you know. But all of them are American light bulbs. Now, it's not for any other reason than the fact that they wanted credit. If Edison had founded the light bulb, had created it, had invented it indeed, and he offered it around the world as he does, then everyone could use it. But you see, Edison did something more. What else did he do? Can any of you say in a quick motion what he did? What did he do with his light bulb? He perfected his light bulb. He took his light bulb and he had different tungsten filaments that didn't burn very long, and they burned out quickly. And then he found out by taking different types of tungsten filament, which had different tensile strengths to them, that they would burn longer and longer and longer. So finally he got a light bulb that would burn for maybe about 20 hours, you know. And by today's standards, that's not very much. We go by the 10,000 hours and so forth. But by those days, it was quite good. Now, the people in Germany and France and so forth, who also had developed the light bulb, did they have the intuitiveness to go the step further and improve the light bulb so that it could burn more than 10 minutes? A 10-minute light bulb is exciting, that's true, when you had none before. But that's just the beginning. So, they didn't do it, to my knowledge. And because they didn't do it, they don't get the credit. We never think of the German or the French people as having created the light bulb, or the English, at the same moment that Edison did, even though they did at quite a similar moment. But they didn't publicize it, they didn't get out with it, and they didn't continue with it after that. Because if somebody else is going to do the work, they feel, why should I'm not going to get the credit. Whereas if they had developed their own light bulb, they would have had the Nevermore light bulb company, for instance, over in France, that would Nevermore burn out. It would just burn for hours and hours and hours. And Edison could have taken note from that and improved his light bulbs, but that wasn't the way it was to be. You see, we're all looking for credit. If we don't get our name in the newspaper or our picture in the newspaper, we feel a little bit put out, even though it's not important. But it is very important. It is very important that we have the attitude about it. You see, most of the time we say, oh, that's not important, but we hate it. With hate, a hateful attitude about something, it's just as bad as having not gotten it at all. But we have to be very careful with ourselves. We have to be very careful that we're not out looking for credit, because when we're out looking for credit, something's going to come along and take it away from us. Now, did Hillary look for credit in stepping on Everest? Well, certainly, he was going up there to be the first man on top of Everest. But when his Sherpa asked, he had no hesitation about saying, you go first. Now, you say, well, that was very generous of him. No, it wasn't generous of him. He paid for the way. He paid for the way. He was supposed to step on it first. Mm-hmm. And he paid, those guys were employees of his, and they don't dare step up there first because they're carrying the luggage, and they're paid by him, and they're doing by him. Now, can you imagine a jet pilot saying, okay, let's have the president of the company who built this jet engine or who made this airplane, let him be here first. Let him fly the plane that breaks the sound barrier. You know, I don't know how to fly. I only know how to run companies, you know. And so he would be very reluctant to get up there and fly this jet airplane, experimental jet airplane, to break the sound barrier. Although he would love to have his name on the front of the plane, out in front of even the pilot, saying, John Paul Jones, you know, and then that goes through the sound barrier first. He says, my name went through the sound barrier, you know, the first time. And that's what they do. That's what they do. They oftentimes paint names like that. During the Second World War, that was quite common, to paint your girlfriend's name on the plane and have her be sort of a model for you to keep up your stiff upper lip sort of thing. But this is part of the game that we play, part of the game of needing credit. And whenever you need it, something happens to take it away. I told you about this one prominent philanthropist who is extremely wealthy, and he was asked to write a note in some magazine, in an interview, telling who he thought were some of the outstanding men in the world today. And he said, I'd rather not. He says, these men are outstanding in their fields, but the way things go in life, they could be sued, they could be dumped out of office, they could be maligned unrighteously or righteously, but then my name would be accredited with having said this person was a good person when he was found to be guilty of not being a good person. And so I don't talk about people unless they're dead. If people have died and all is known about them, then I will stand out and speak. Now, this fellow was wise because his life was based upon having people like him, having the world give him credit for being a most amazing man. The day will come when his shoes will be found to be made of clay too, and he will have his Achilles heel that will be revealed about him. We can never talk about other people. We can never say that we cannot compliment other people because they might be found to be rascals. If we do that, we can be sure we're going to be found to be rascals somewhere. Now, many people who like many people were put in prison and they're not guilty. Many people who are said to have done bad things haven't done it. Many people who are said to have said things, they haven't done it. And a gossip just got wind of it. By the way, did you know that our neighbor did this and that and the other thing? Oh, really? And the next thing you know, you're talking to somebody else. Did you know our neighbor did this, that, and the other thing? Then they go around. Did you know that their neighbor did? Did you know that that man? Did you know? And pretty soon, it's all blown out of proportion, and the story is told around the world, so to speak. You know, it could get on the internet. And that man who had been the soul of purity and goodness would be besmirched by some silly remark made by someone who thought they saw something. And it can be very devastating. It can be very devastating. Just like the man who is at home alone and he's visited by this super gorgeous woman. Oh, she is just, woo, everybody turned their head when she walked by. And he answered the door. He said, come in. And he gave her a big hug right there in the doorway. And they went in the house, and they were there for hours and hours and hours. And then, maybe about 2 or 3 in the afternoon, she came out, and she was straightening up her dress and so forth. And she went out and got in her car and drove away. Now, everybody thought that he was entertaining some very luscious being. And they said so. And they called the wife, and they called everybody. Well, it turns out that this is his younger sister. His younger sister, whom he had not seen for a long time. And he was so proud of her. He was so delighted in her, of course. But the story got out. Now, will the feathers of that story ever settle? And will they ever be reclaimed and remunished? No. They can't be and they won't be. Life's not that generous. However, the man can continue to live a noble, beautiful life, and he can tell his neighbors or not. If his neighbors want to tell stories like that, he'll just say, that's their business. But no, it's your reputation. My reputation isn't going to be changed because my neighbors come to a new belief about me. No way. If they don't know me as a neighbor and as the quality that I am, I'm not going to say a thing. I'm not going to say a thing. And we are all wise not to protest, not to protect ourselves, not to always go around trying to say, well, that was incorrect. Yeah, I have a number of people in prison that I'm working with, and they each have statements like that, where they were maligned and badly treated and And what term did he use there?
Guilty by association.
Guilty by association. And now, is it true or is it false? Well, it really doesn't make any difference. What is his attitude about him now? What does he believe about his the people who made him guilty by association? Can he release them? Can he find his own level of peace? And when he can find his own level of peace, then he'll be at peace. And it doesn't matter what other people think or say. Because the people who think or say or do these things, well, off and on they move away. Off and on they go to other places and other towns, and new people come. And if you show the world by who and how you are that you're a beautiful being, then that's the picture they'll have of you. And that's all that matters. And if you're going to need to have the credit, if you're going to need people to approve of you, you're going to be like the frog. I did it. And plutch, you lost your free trip. So, think about the frog anytime you're going to ask for credit and realize that it may not be worth the price. I love you and have a lovely afternoon.